time?
Sunday.
What day?
Sunday.
It's time to play the game.
Get ready for a game day edition of CBJ and 30.
Game on!
Yeah, game on!
Hear from the players and coaches as the Blue Jackets get set to hit the ice. Join the discussion on Twitter by using the hashtag CBJ and 30. Here's your host, Bob McGilligan.
Yes?
Do you have for me the massage?
Oh, you want a massage, eh?
If you have one for me, yes.
Yeah. Why don't you talk Tokyo Little at the end of the block? Ask for Passion Flower Shirley, the Yokohama butterfly.
And why should I do that?
Well, you want a massage, don't you?
Yes, but I want it from you.
Sir, I don't give massages.
But you gave me one only this morning.
See, you're mistaken.
Look, don't you try the tricks anglais with me, monsieur. I received a massage this morning from Inspector Quinlan of the Yard of Scotland.
The massage!
And it was you that gave it to me.
Message!
What?
You mean message?
Look, I know what I mean, you lunatic. Now, do you or do you not have for me the massage?
No, sir. For you, there is no massage.
I think that is one of the funniest characters ever created. Inspector Clouseau, played by the immortal Peter Sellers, in the Pink Panther series of movies. Now, I'll admit to you, when I was a kid, I watched the Pink Panther cartoons on Saturday mornings. Remember when cartoons were only on Saturday mornings? Are you old enough to remember when Saturday morning was just a fiesta of cartoons? You couldn't wait to get up on Saturday morning, especially in the fall when the new cartoons were coming out. You know, when the repeats that you watched all summer were stopping and you get to see something new. Remember that? Remember how quickly you jumped out of bed for that? Well, the Pink Panther was a cartoon, and I loved it, and I loved the song. So I was drawn to the Pink Panther theme, and then later was introduced to the movies and Inspector Clouseau. And I'm telling you, funny stuff. If you love slapstick comedy, and if you haven't seen the Pink Panther movies, you are cheating yourself. Here's one more example.
Does your dear go bad?
No. Oh.
Nice dear get. I thought you said your dear did not bite.
That is not my dog.
I love that. I love it. He's checking into a hotel there, and the clerk is just so matter of fact when he says, "That is not my dog." Oh. I thought you said your dig does not bite. Okay. All right. Well, the Florida Panthers are coming to town tonight. They're nothing like the Pink Panther, but I hope that they play like Inspector Clouseau acts, which is ridiculous, because if they do, the Blue Jackets will take full advantage tonight. And there's a bit on the line for the Blue Jackets tonight. Oh, by the way, welcome to a game day edition of CBJ and 30. I'm your host, Bob McElligott. And what's on the line tonight for the Blue Jackets? Well, the Pittsburgh Penguins lost last night. The Philadelphia Flyers, they have been hospitable to the Blue Jackets all week long. First of all, they blew a 3-2 lead and allowed the Blue Jackets to come back and eventually not only tie but win the game on Monday night at the Wells Fargo Center. But then last night when the Pittsburgh Penguins came to town, the Flyers decided to pitch a shutout against the defending Stanley Cup champions. And that means with the Penguins not having a game tonight, the Blue Jackets could get in front of them and right behind Washington in the Metropolitan Division race once again. So we shall see what happens tonight. So again, something on the line. There's going to be something on the line from here until the end of the regular season for the Capitals, the Penguins, the Blue Jackets, and the Rangers, who are in that race to find out how they are going to sort out as far as the top four in this division and which team is going to be the wild card team crossing over into the Atlantic Division. But the Blue Jackets, they did play a good game on Monday. There were some elements of that game that were bad as well, like all the penalties that they took and had to go to the box. So that is something that they do have to overcome. Now, yesterday was a special day at Nationwide Arena for Blue Jackets head coach John Tortorella because a young man, 15 years of age, named Whitaker Noble, has his own business. He basically cleans up after dogs for other people, They hire him. He cleans up after their dogs. He watches their dogs. He walks their dogs. And during the month of February, he ran a special with his clients where he donated a portion of his earnings to the Tortorella Family Foundation. And of course, you know that John Tortorella and his family use that money to rescue animals, not just dogs. They rescue animals. So Whitaker brought a big check to, I call them the Happy Gilmore checks, right? Remember Happy Gilmore? He wanted the big checks to drive around in his car full of the big checks after the golf tournaments. So Whitaker brought a big check to Nationwide Arena yesterday and presented $1,100 to John Tortorella, and that couldn't have made him more happy. I'll talk with John Tortorella about that and about tonight's game in today's exclusive one-on-one interview between me and the Blue Jackets head coach.
Torts, if you compare the game against Buffalo and then the game against Philly, fell behind in both of those. The Philly one, you come back and you overtake them, you get the win. I'm sure you weren't happy with all points of that game, but how happy are you with the fact that you made that quick progression and you came back in the second one, got the points?
Yeah. It's funny how it happens. It comes back and bites you again the next night, giving up a couple goal lead. I'm not crazy about all the penalties and losing the flow of the bench, but to score that third goal, and that was the most important thing, was to be even going into that third period. And I thought we were diligent in the third period, found a way. Second power play comes up with a huge goal. I thought we did some really good things there. It's finding ways to win. 12 months ago, maybe we're finding ways to lose. I think we've really gone down the right road and just staying with it.
When you go back and look at that third goal, Zach Werenski shooting it basically from the boards in front of the bench, I don't even know if there was that much room. He finds that lane and gets it in there, and that's something he's shown a real knack for, isn't it?
Yeah, he does things that you can't teach. He's got this innate ability of seeing the ice, getting his shots through, knowing when to shoot, when not to. Huge part of our power play as far as the patience of it. That's a set play by him and Jonesy. We get some good people. We get some people in front of the net. It's a huge goal after the thing, Bobby, that really doubled up on us is we kill that four-minute power play, and then they score because we don't get the puck out of the end zone. We're 5-on-5. That's a double whammy that could knock you back. It didn't affect us. We just stayed with it.
You know, the Dubinsky goal also, you were talking about set plays. Doobie talked about the fact that they worked on that in the morning, making that play. Hartnell goes to the front of the net with the screen. When you talk about sometimes things you can't teach, what about when you do teach things and then they execute? It makes them feel good. But on the bench, it's got to give you some sense of satisfaction.
Yeah, you know what? I'm thrilled with Brad Larson. I watched him run the power play practice, and the power play guys were brutal. They couldn't make two passes. I watched Lars, how he handled himself. He was frustrated, but he just stayed with it. He kept on going over that play, going over some other plays, but went over that one because it's kind of a different play. And the players really didn't understand it, but then he came in the evening, showed them the video to let them see why we did that in the morning. And to see something work as you really try to work on it, I give the players credit, and I give that coach a lot of credit too, and Brad Larson, as far as if I was in his shoes and the way they were practicing at that point in time, we wouldn't have gone over anything. I'm not sure what I would have done. So it really taught me a lesson of just staying patient with it here, and it ends up winning a game. And I saw their reaction with Lars on the bench, the camaraderie. It was terrific. It was one of the better moments for me this year to see players and a coach reacting. So it's good stuff.
All right. Now, the one negative about it, and you mentioned it a moment ago, the penalties. Your team was so disciplined all year, and all of a sudden in the last two games, that's kind of gotten away. Why is that?
I don't know. I don't know. I can't believe Jens. It's just – and you watch Jens when he goes to the box. We can laugh about it now, but he was about 2 inches tall when he went to that box. We have concentrated on that all year long. We're trying to be more aggressive, I think. Maybe that has something to do with it. And the penalties that were called were penalties. It wasn't like there were any bad calls. I don't agree that we didn't have many other power plays the other way because there were some penalties on Philly's side. But, yeah, we have to get that straightened out because we lost complete flow on our bench. And Bjorkstrand plays 10 minutes. Hartsey plays 9 minutes throughout the game. We just lost a lot of guys in that situation.
All right, before I leave you go, you had something special happen where a young man who has his own business collected money, donated 25% of his earnings from the month of February to your family foundation. His name is Whitaker Noble. He actually was a pitcher for my travel baseball team a couple of years ago. I know him well. I've watched him mature, but the gesture that he made to you and your family, I'm sure, rings very deep within you.
It is probably one of the best moments I've had this year in quite a while, quite honestly, to have a 15-year-old boy, Whitaker Thomas Noble, Bexley, he's been working at this for a number of years, as you very well know, picking up dog crap and all the things, walking dogs and doing great things for a 15-year-old with so many things going on in his life and so many different ways that he could go, so many different avenues that he could have interest in to do this. And then to think about another foundation from other people, our family foundation, $1,100. I mean, I was speechless when he did this. And so I just called him after spending some time. We brought him in for a tour and met some of the guys. Our foundation is going to match his $1,100. We're going to call him back. We have a number of projects that we're involved in. We're going to put a name on his project. We're going to let him pick one of those projects. And that $2,200 is going to get to work right away in saving. There's so many different things we're doing with the animals. It's going to be, his name's going to be on it. So I was emotional to see that and for him to be thinking of other people instead of putting the money in his pocket as a 15-year-old. It warms my heart. And I'll tell you right now, that's just the beginning of the relationship between him and I. And because I think it can be a two-way street here in helping one another.
You know, what you just said, so many different ways you can go. As a 15-year-old in the 21st century, there are a lot of temptations to take $1,100 and do other things or whatever you want. So that's – he could it's almost like a role model thing, isn't it?
Yeah. I just got off the phone with my wife and told her, and she's just shocked. And she runs our foundation. She's going to reach out to him right away. It's just the start of this relationship, I'll tell you right now. So it is I'm thrilled, and it really does. It's good for the heart to see something like that happen in today's world.
Absolutely, I agree. Torts, thank you very much. Good luck.
Thank you.
That's Blue Jackets head coach John Tortorella. And I was thinking yesterday when Whitaker was there to give him that check that just a couple of years ago, he was playing on a travel baseball team that my son plays on, and I helped the coach. And this would have been, I don't know, not the playoff year. It must have been the year after the playoffs when the Blue Jackets were struggling. And we went to practice one day, and he was talking about the Blue Jackets, and another kid just made some derogatory comment. And I jumped the kid a little bit. I mean, you know, he's 13 years old at the time. But, you know, they were putting down Whitaker's passion for the Blue Jackets and doing it right in front of me, which I didn't think was very smart. So I kind of told him that in a roundabout way, which, by the way, he did come back and apologize. And we got along just fine, that boy and I. But Whitaker had that passion, and I give him a lot of credit because my 15-year-old doesn't go out and find a way to earn a lot of money to do the stuff that he wants or to get the things he needs, believe me. And not many do. So kudos to him. He's done a great job. He really has. And now he's forged a great relationship with a great man in John Tortorella. Let's talk about this game tonight, though, and the Blue Jackets needing to get on top of the Florida Panthers early. As we just said, needing to stay out of the penalty box. Can't give up those kind of power plays. You know, Florida might be healthier. I think they are. This is the healthiest the Blue Jackets have seen them. And they've lost to them two times, once in regulation, once in overtime, both in Florida. So now they're even more healthy than they were. And they're more desperate than they were because they're trying to get into a playoff spot. It's not going to happen, but they're trying. And they still have that belief. So they're going to play hard in this game this evening. So the Blue Jackets are going to need as many goals as they can get. Well, Cam Atkinson had two goals in the last game. He got a breakaway and a great feed from Zach Werenski, and he beat Steve Mason on that. And then he got an empty netter at the very end. He has his season total up to 32 now, and I got a chance to catch up with Cam and talk to him about that number and about the way he's playing right now.
Cam, 32 goals now for you. Was there a point, once you got past the 30 plateau, did you kind of breathe again a little bit?
I guess you could say that. You know, you get stuck at 19 or 9 or 29 or whatever it is, and you might start gripping the stick a little tight just thinking about, okay, if I get, you know, the next one, it's pretty special. But it was obviously nice to get the empty netter to kind of, you know, let my nerves settle down, and now you can just get back to playing.
And really, the big thing is the team winning, and that helps when you're scoring the goals, obviously. But the way you've been winning games here recently, how much is that going to help you going down the stretch and getting to where you want to be next month?
Yeah, it's very important. You know, it's good to see that it's not only just one guy scoring. We have all four lines contributing, especially our D as well. So that's going to be very important for us going into, you know, obviously the later end of the season and hopefully in the playoffs.
What about adversity, overcoming that too? Nick Foligno couldn't play in Philly the other night. You jump up on a different line and still you get the contributions and you get everybody chipping in and finding a way to win.
Yeah, you want depth, and obviously with, you know, some of the trades that we made at the deadline, a little more depth definitely helps. It's just that next man up. We expect that guy, whoever it is, whether they come from Cleveland or whoever it might be, to come in and do the job. So they've been doing a great job.
As the team gets healthy here, and almost everybody is now, there is a good sense of competition, isn't there? Because everybody knows you've got to be one of the best, or you might not be in the lineup that very night.
Yeah, that's what you want, obviously, within an organization. And I'm just happy I'm not the coach to make those decisions.
How do you feel about this team right now? Just the overall in the room and amongst yourselves. Do you have that confidence back that you had early in the year?
Absolutely. I mean, even when after that 16-game winning streak and we went in that little lull of the season where we weren't winning, 1-1, losing one, we still had the confidence. But now I feel like we're showing it a little bit even more during that 16-game winning streak. So it's good to have the confidence going into the end of the season.
Is it easier to focus now when the games are winding down here, when you get down to the 14-13? You know that you're still taking them one day at a time, but there is that focus on the final outcome.
Yeah, you know what, you got to take it one day at a time. You can't look too far. You know, there's still a lot of points to gain, and a lot of teams are still fighting for their playoff lives, and it's going to be really tight going into the last little stretch. So focus on what you can focus on, and that's just taking each day at a time and playing good.
This Florida team is desperate. They're also a team that is probably more healthy than the last time you saw them. How dangerous will they be?
Yeah, they got some pretty dangerous players. I saw last night they laid a pretty good beat down on Toronto, I think 8-1 or whatever it was. So I'm sure they have a lot of confidence coming into our building, and we just got to play our game. We'll be fine.
Just play your game. It's a cliche, but it's a true cliche. That's all the Blue Jackets have to do tonight. They have to dictate the pace. They have to dictate the way the game's going to be played. They have to take advantage of home ice against the Florida Panthers. And when we talk about home ice, that's what they're trying to achieve for the playoffs. So you need to play like that right now. If you want to be there in the second week of April, if you want to be at home to get things started, you've got to play well at home right now, especially when there's a looming back-to-back on the road this weekend with two afternoon games in Brooklyn against the Islanders and then over in, Newark. Jeez, I almost said Trenton, New Jersey. That's not right, and I knew it wasn't right, but Trenton was sticking in my head. Newark, New Jersey against the Devils on Sunday. So that's going to be a challenge, not just back-to-back games, but back-to-back 1 o'clock in the afternoon games, which, you know, this team doesn't play very many of those types of games, so we'll see what happens with that. So play at home tonight. Take care of it. The old one-day-at-a-time thing is all that they have to do. Well, here's a guy that's taken it one day at a time ever since he arrived here at the trade deadline, and that's defenseman Kyle Quincy. He's now an everyday regular in the lineup with Ryan Murray on the shelf with a broken hand, and I had a chance to catch up with him and talk to him about it.
Kyle, now that some time has gone by and you're getting regular shifts, are you getting pretty well acclimated with what's going on here?
Yeah, feeling good. Every game, every shift, feeling more and more comfortable. So just good to get in the games and kind of continuing to get better every shift.
Kind of funny you aren't in there for the game in Buffalo, and then all of a sudden Ryan Murray's hurt, and now you know you're going to be a regular mainstay. Is it any easier just knowing that you're going to play every day?
It's difficult going in and out for sure, especially when you're trying to get acclimated to the guys and get chemistry and all that. So it'd be huge if I can keep playing game in, game out, and just kind of building, getting better and better every shift.
What about playing with Marcus Nudavara, young rookie, and, you know, you hadn't played with him, hadn't seen him really before you came here. What's it like playing alongside of him?
Yeah, he's a good young player, moves the puck well, good skater, so it's been good.
He's is there any problems, communications problems? I know he does pretty good English there, but
No. We keep it pretty simple, so it's all good.
The way you guys came back in Philly, you know, after losing the way you did in Buffalo, to come back and win in Philly after being down, how big was that?
Yeah, it was a weird hockey game. A lot of penalties and really not much flow to the game. So, you know, you want to be able to win the ugly ones sometimes. So that was a big win for us.
Coming down the stretch here, and especially with Florida coming up next, it's another desperate team. What do you have to do to make sure you handle them right?
I'll just keep playing the same way. You know, we're playing hard, and we're desperate too. You know, we want to keep getting the wins on the board and keep chasing Washington. So it's a big game for us also, so it'll be a fun one.
That's Blue Jackets defenseman Kyle Quincy, and boy, is it ever nice to have him as the option to go into the lineup with Ryan Murray going to be out for the rest of the regular season and maybe even through the first round of the playoffs. All right, let's talk about this Florida Panthers team that the Blue Jackets are getting set to take on tonight. The Panthers have a long way to go. I mean, if they really want to get into the playoffs, they've got to climb now. They've got 71 points, and that trails the New York Islanders, who have the final wild card spot by 6 points. There are 14 games remaining for the Panthers, and they've got to get 6 points. But here's the bigger challenge. They have to climb over Philadelphia, Toronto, Tampa, and the Islanders, and that's what makes it so difficult. Now, the Panthers are coming into this game after a big win over the Toronto Maple Leafs in their home building, in Florida's home building, just a couple of nights ago. 7-2 was the final score in that one, and that was really a relief for the Florida Panthers because they had lost 5 consecutive games prior to that win. So that's why they've fallen out of playoff contention. But they need to build on that now, and that's what the Blue Jackets have to watch out for, that they are going to be very hungry to build on that here tonight. So they've got 14 games left, as I said, and many of them do come against the teams that are in front of them in the standings. After they play here tonight, they go and play the Rangers at Madison Square Garden tomorrow night. So they're going to be a busy team. Blue Jackets know all about that. Then on Sunday afternoon, Florida's going to play in Pittsburgh against the Penguins. So not easy for them. And the Blue Jackets can make it even tougher on them by just getting it started on a bad note, getting that road trip started on a bad note with a big win at Nationwide Arena tonight. Now, the Panthers have beaten the Blue Jackets 2 times this year, 1 time in overtime, the other time a 4-3 win. The Blue Jackets came up short in their comeback. Both of those were in Florida. And when you look at the last 7 games, Florida has earned points in all of them, going 5-0-2. So they will be a confident group coming into Nationwide Arena tonight. Who to watch out for on the Florida Panthers? Well, there are a lot of guys that you have to be very wary of. But here are some of the top guys. Vincent Trocheck has had a great year. 22 goals, 27 assists for him for a total of 49 points. Just a tough, hard-nosed player. Just goes to the net, carries the puck well, picks his spots well, all of those things. So he's very dangerous, and the Blue Jackets have to be well aware of him tonight. Former Blue Jacket Jonathan Marchessault. Remember, he was here for about a cup of coffee a number of years ago and has bounced around. He was in Tampa. Now he's gone across the state to the Florida Panthers. And what a year he is having with 22 goals and 20 assists. He's a Cam Atkinson type of a player. He's slippery. He's small. He's quick. He's going to find the open spaces in the ice, and that's where he will try to hurt you. So you have to have an extra eye out on him. Thomas Vanek came over from the Detroit Red Wings at the trade deadline, and what an acquisition he has been for them. He's got 43 points on the year. He's coming off a very good game against Toronto a couple of nights ago. And, you know, Thomas Vanek went from a team that was out of the playoffs to a team that is, still out of the playoffs, but a team that really has a chance to make the playoffs, unlike Detroit. So he's the same kind of way in many regards as Marchessault, what I was just talking about. He's not as quick and slippery, but what he will do is he's not going to outwork you, but you will always find him in a spot in the offensive zone where somebody can get him the puck and he can get a good shot on net, be it a one-timer, be it, catch it, pick a spot, whatever the case is. He is very adept at scoring and great at shooting the puck. So you need to know where he is. I just said the same thing about everybody. It's all true. Those three guys are really tough. And then you've got the ageless one, Jaromir Jagr. He's just out there protecting the puck with his big body as he's done his entire career. He's setting up guys for goals. He's Jaromir Jagr. He's going to go into the Hall of Fame. There's no doubt about it. So he is a factor as well, especially with his size tonight. And on the back end, Keith Yandle only has 4 goals this year, but he's dished out 31 assists. He is an offensive defenseman. They'll try to create from the blue line, and they've got to be ready for it. And I forgot to mention 2 other guys up front because they were injured the last time that the Blue Jackets saw the Panthers. Alexander Barkov, who has put up 45 points on the year, he is a terrific talent, and so is Jonathan Huberdeau. Huberdeau's been out almost the entire year and has recently come back and has 14 points. Those two guys make the Florida Panthers even more dynamic than they already were, and they were a dynamic team, don't get me wrong. And then you've got the leadership of Derek McKenzie, their captain. We know him so well here in Columbus, his heart and soul and guts and grind. He'll have that team ready to come in here and play hard tonight. I also want to remind you that this is the final day of the Blue Jackets Foundation raffle. Players wearing jerseys during the pregame warmups tonight. They're green jerseys. They will autograph the jerseys, and then they will be available in a raffle. Now, these raffle tickets have been on sale for a couple of days, but you can still get one today. Raffle tickets are priced at $10. You can get them online by going to cbjauction.gesture.com, cbjauction.gesture.com, or at the game tonight, you can buy a ticket and have a chance to win one of these game-worn, autographed green jerseys. That wasn't very good. Green jerseys. That was better. You can win one of those. So make sure that you do that either before you get to the game tonight or when you are at the game tonight. That game that I'm talking about starts at 7 o'clock this evening at Nationwide Arena. Pre-game coverage begins at 6:45 on the Blue Jackets radio network, and that includes the flagship station 97.1, The Fan in Columbus. You can also hear the game streamed through the NHL app or through the TuneIn app on the Blue Jackets channel there. And you can get it at BlueJackets.com as well. Blue Jackets and the Florida Panthers closing out their season series tonight at Nationwide Arena. A chance for the Blue Jackets to advance in the Metropolitan Division and climb into second place if they can get a victory tonight. We'll find out a little bit later. And until then, I'm Bob McElligott saying so long.